You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from Embassy Bank in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. This is your host, Hank Boyer, with my co-host, Christine Miles of CI Squared, Drew Hanlon of Hanlon Creative, and Peter Kirikotis from Emmanuel Insurance. We've got a terrific lineup of guests for you today. Christine, would you please give us a rundown of who will be on our show?
Sure, Hank. We have Jeff Boyer, President, Boyer Financial Group. We have Matt Dieter, Principal, MSS Services. Mike Foley, a Presidential Director with Stream Energy. And Dave Lobach, CEO of MSC Bank.
Terrific. Thanks, Christine. Our first guest today is Jeff Boyer, who is President of Boyer Financial Group. What's Boyer Financial Group, and what does the company do?
Boyer Financial Group is a client-centered wealth management and financial planning firm.
How long have you guys been in business?
Since 1983.
And how did it get started?
It started because I looked at the industry and realized that there was commissions and therefore lack of objectivity. We wanted to create the objectivity.
Mm. Excellent. So where were you born and raised?
I was born in New Jersey, but very quickly removed to Boyertown, Pennsylvania.
Boyertown. What's the connection there with the name?
The family founded the town in the early 1800s.
So what was that like growing up as a Boyer in Boyertown?
It was difficult because everything that we did was under the scrutiny of everybody else in the town. Big fish, small pond.
Mm. And how did that shape you as an adult?
I couldn't wait to leave.
So, brothers or sisters?
Three brothers.
Where are you in the pecking order?
Second.
Mm, what is being the second child? How does that affect you? How would that affect you growing up?
My older brother and I are very different people. He was very much my dad's idol. I was not.
Mm.
So we had a lot of competition.
So how did that manifest itself in growing up? What was the outlet for that?
The outlet, I think, was becoming just more independent, more my own person. Mm. I had no choice.
Okay, Pete?
Yeah. In the green room, you talked about your father a little at length, and you had mentioned that he had a disease growing up. Can you tell us a little bit about what complication he had?
Yeah, Dad had a disease very similar to polio. He was born with it. It resulted in a major operation when he was 40 to lengthen his left leg 5.5 inches. He was a fighter. He was courageous. Not the most sensitive guy in the world.
When you say not the most sensitive guy, can you give us a little bit of an understanding of how that relationship was for you growing up?
Touchy-feely was not part of his world. Empathy was not part of his world. So it was, what's the job? Get it done. Doesn't matter how much it hurts. If it's not bleeding, it doesn't hurt. That's a given.
Jeff, you mentioned in the green room that you were the opposite, very much so, of your dad, that you were you needed sensitivity. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's just the way I came out wired. I needed the support. I needed the empathy, which fortunately my mother provided to the extent of her ability. Dad just didn't do it.
Yeah. And how does that affect you today?
Fortunately, I was able to turn that into an asset so that I became much more empathetic and concerned for the people that I serve in my business. So it's not all about numbers. It's really about their life and their fulfillment.
Who was the adult growing up that you were closest to or you most admired?
Oh, undoubtedly my grandfather.
What was he about?
He was a banker. He had been in a number of other businesses over his career. He was a very small statured guy, but a real powerhouse. He was very humble, and yet he was one of the most generous people that I knew.
How old were you when you realized he was really something special?
I'd say in my early teens.
Mm-hmm. There was an incident that you had a visitor that came to see him, traveled in from quite a distance. Tell us a little bit about that.
Granddad was never one to throw his weight around. Being a lightweight, that, of course, was easy. But he was very well known in financial communities. The Secretary of the Treasury in 1953, the first woman Secretary of the Treasury, came to visit him and then came to visit us.
So did that have anything to do with why you're in the financial services industry today?
Not that specifically. Granddad recognized that I had an interest, and he and I went to shareholders meetings by the time I was in my mid-teens, Air Products, Merck, J&J, and so forth.
Jeff, I'm just curious. Obviously, your grandfather's a very special man to you. What do you hear him telling you when you're guiding your clients every day?
Maintain integrity.
Yeah, so he was Mr. Boyertown, huh?
Yeah, he was.
Tell us more about that maintain integrity piece.
Granddad had come back to Boyertown in 1911 when his father had a stroke. And when I went in 71 to go into the brokerage industry, he sent me a note telling me to maintain integrity. And when I asked him about it, he said, I've been in Boyertown for 60 years doing business with everybody in town. And when I walk down the street, I don't have to change the other side. Mm.
Can you tell us, Jeff, a little about the first job you can remember where you earned some money?
The first job I had, I earned all of 11 cents an hour. It was actually $5 a week. But I milked goats on a farm next to the farm that I grew up on.
And what do you remember most about doing that?
I learned to drive. Tractors, trucks, you know, the whole bit.
Was it actually
but it
work
was
or was
hard.
It
fun? No, it was hard work. Yeah. It was hard work. Yeah.
Jeff, you described you also played sports when you were a kid. What kind of sports did you play?
I was a loner. I was not so much on a team, so I ran track primarily. Loved to run.
You've got to have stamina to be a runner. And you described you're in business for yourself.
Yes.
Is that right? And you also said you prefer it that way.
Well, I prefer it because in our industry, you are part of a team because of our licensing and our structures. So that I have 2,500 associates, but I also run my own business.
Not unlike you were running as a kid, right?
Yeah.
What did you think about when you were running?
How to beat the guy in front of me.
That carry over to what you do today?
Yeah. The difference is that as a kid, I wanted to beat him because I wanted to be known as the guy that beat him. Today, I want to do it because I want to help my clients.
Jeff, I want to go back to something that you described earlier in the interview, which was growing up as a boyer in Boyertown, there was a lot of scrutiny. And it's interesting to me that part of what you do is you have a fee-based firm, and that's about transparency and making sure, you know, the financial industry is well scrutinized. How do you take that lessons from the kids, being a kid, into your business life?
I think that you have to accept the fact that our industry is highly regulated, but in being highly regulated, it's also for, in many cases, the good of the client. So the scrutiny that I resisted as a child, which was busybodiness for the most part, translated into a real caring for the clients and where they're going and what their needs are.
So I'm gonna just tackle you here a little bit more. So you talked a lot about that sensitivity and wanting. You said, I think earlier in the green room, something about you really just wanted, you know, unconditional love, and you try to provide that for your clients and your customers.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about that, if you will.
Well, because I had no unconditional love growing up. The family was a bit of a war zone, so there was just not a lot there. My coming to faith in 1972 and the whole concept of unconditional love of Jesus Christ was, you know, a real turning point for me.
Yeah, Jeff, I was just curious, do you have any children?
I have four children.
And what's the most important thing that your children have learned from you?
To love, to care about each other.
So, Jeff, is it fair to say that you kind of took a little bit of a tough growing up period and really made lemonade out of lemons there?
I had no choice.
Yeah.
I had to in order to survive.
What's the one thing your youngest daughter would say about you?
That she really knows that I care about her.
What does that mean to you? How does it make you feel?
Well, given the fact that she's still living at home, going to school, it's good because we have a lot of interaction back and forth, talking about what she's doing, why she's doing it. We share her successes and her challenges.
And how do you do that with your customers? Because one of the things you talked about earlier in the green room was about helping them, and that's giving back in a way that you didn't get. So how do you translate that?
Financial planning and wealth management is very similar to gasoline going into a car. If you don't have it, you don't run. But it isn't the whole car. It's the comfort. It's the understanding. It's the what's really important to you as a client, and how are you dealing with issues that you can't talk to others about.
So one of the things that I noticed about your background, some of the things that you do now, you're a master gardener today.
That's true.
So what does master gardening have to do with running a business?
I don't play golf. I need that outlet. I love being outside. That came from the farm.
Is there nurturing in that too, a little bit, Jeff? A little pardon? Nurturing in gardening?
Oh, yeah, very definitely. And the reward, especially this time of year in the spring, of seeing what you've done come to fruition. But there's an important thing to know, and that is that I can do all the planning, I can do all the work that needs to be done, but I can't make anything grow. That's God's job.
Jeff, what's the website?
BoyerMoney.com.
Give it to me one more time.
BoyerMoney.com.
Great. We've been speaking with Jeff Boyer, president of Boyer Financial Group. Don't forget to visit executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this. We're back, and you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Hank Boyer, and I'd like to introduce you to our next guest, Matt Dieter, who is principal and founder of MSS Services. Morning, Matt. What is MSS Services?
We are a provider of engineering and construction management professional services to our clients.
How large or how small?
We are slightly over 100 people.
And how'd you get started?
I worked for my current partner, and in that firm, we did a little bit of everything: engineering, construction, and construction management. And we settled in on the construction management side and professional services in the new firm.
Excellent. Where'd you grow up?
Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Altoona, Pennsylvania. What, in the town or what?
In the country. My parents had 12 acres and surrounded by farms and mountains and good stuff.
What'd you learn growing up on a farm in Altoona?
Hard work. It's work ethic is everything.
Brothers or sisters?
I had two, one of each, both older.
What did your dad do?
My dad was a cost accountant for a larger firm, but on the side, he did a lot of other things. He plowed snow and fixed things for people and painted, and he was a pilot, took me up in his Cessna and things like that.
Where did he learn to be a pilot?
World War II. He flew B-29s.
Christine?
Yeah, you talked about your dad. I think the terminology in the green room was he was a jack of all trades. Cost accountant, you don't necessarily think of someone having the mechanical skills that perhaps he had. How did that help you growing up? What did you do, learn from watching him and so forth?
Yeah, I think from the cost accountant side, I got the analytical engineering background. From everything else, you know, I learned how to do masonry and plumbing and things of that nature. My dad basically built the house that we lived in.
Wow. You said you were a merchant marine. Is that right?
I was.
Yeah.
Correct.
And you did what? You described in the green room again being on a ship. And
so there were two angles you could get down in the merchant marine. One is a engineer down below, and one was a deckie. And I chose the engineering route. So basically, it was dark all day long. You're under below decks, but. You know, you're thousands of miles away from anyone on floating on the sea, and you have to know how to run the equipment, and if something breaks, you have to be able to fix it on the spot.
Matt, what kind of activities were you into when you were younger?
I was involved in sports, team sports, but I think Boy Scouts probably really shaped me.
And what do you remember about being a Boy Scout? Like, what's the one thing you take to work every day from being a Boy Scout?
Well, it's the same type of thing as with my father. You know, you have to be able to do a lot of different things. I learned a lot in Boy Scouts as far as taking care of, you know, myself and being a leader of others. And, this sales actually was started in Boy Scouts, too, because of selling things to create revenue in order to go to camp and so forth.
That ties to your business development experience now.
That's who I am with the work that I do now. That's correct.
And with regard to sports, you mentioned that you were usually the captain on the team, but you say that very humbly. I'm just curious, how come? Like, what made you the captain?
Well, it wasn't like, when you start out, you're the captain. I was always, in bicycle racing, it's called a domestique. It's basically the person who carried the water, broke, you know, rode in front, gave the star his bicycle when the star flatted out and things of that nature. So I was a worker, hard work, and ultimately the coaches would reward that with captain.
Sounds like you took the baton from your father and continued doing the hard work.
Yeah, I believe so.
How do you think that shows up every day at the business?
It's interesting because, you know, there's a lot of opportunity in the world these days to kind of go back and sit back on the couch or not go to work one day, you know, especially after you've built a business. But I go to work every day, put my shoes on, go to work every day. I care about the people that work for us. We care about the people who work for us.
Hey, Matt, I heard something else in that sentence about the guy out in front, the bicyclist. Yeah. What's exciting about being the guy that does the assist versus being the one that scores? What's exciting about that for you?
I just think there's a lot of satisfaction in helping somebody else get across the finish line.
Yeah, why? But I thought CEOs were supposed to be rough, tough, uncaring people, and that doesn't sound like what you're talking about at all.
Yeah, the good CEOs are humble. They care about the people that work with them because without those people, you don't get anywhere.
In the green room, we talked a little bit about your mother as well, and you had mentioned to us that she was a seamstress and a homemaker. But you also talked to us about a very unique quality that she had. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, all of my life I knew and know my mother's still alive. Her as being completely deaf. She lost her hearing when she was a teenager. So as a mom, she was always deaf, and she functioned very much like everyone else.
At a young age, can you tell us how that impacted you?
Well, it didn't impact me really much at all then. At least I didn't think so. Now, looking back, you know, as I got older, I am extremely impressed with how well she did in life. And
Matt, did you know sign language? How did you communicate with your mother growing up?
My mother learned how to read lips, and if you spoke to her directly face-to-face, you would never even know she was deaf.
So, Matt, I have a question for you. What do you see and read without hearing things that make you good in business?
I believe that I can see people and read them and you know, really know what's going on, I think, inside them
as a
person.
Did you get that from your mother, watching her?
I believe so, yeah.
Matt, you told us something just a second ago that was fascinating, I thought, about your mom, that was a hobby that her and your dad shared together. Can you tell the listening audience what that is?
Yeah, a little bit later in their lives, when they had more time after the kids grew up, they took up ballroom and square dancing. And I didn't even think about it. I thought, you know, that's pretty cool. You know, that's what people do. And then now I'm like thinking and realizing that you need to be able to hear the music to dance, right? Mm. And she couldn't hear the music.
Who are you most like, your mom or your dad?
I think I'm most like my dad.
How does that show itself each day?
A problem solver. I go to work or even at home. I mean, that's men are like that generally anyway, but you know, work, you know, things come up and you got to fix them, you know.
How do you think the experience with your mother growing up helps you connect with others today?
Well, my mother's very sensitive, and I think that's the part that I inherited that from her. I am sensitive to people, and, you know, that's why I'm in the business that I'm in right now.
Matt, did you grow up wealthy? I mean, did you have every opportunity presented to you? How did you grow up?
Yeah, that's kind of funny. We grew up in the country. I always had the important things, food and clothing and so forth, but there was no real extra money for anything. So
one of the things that, as you were talking both now and in the green room, that occurred to me was that your dad, you know, cost accountant, but you know, could really fix anything, no limitations. And you just described your mother as she shouldn't have been able to dance because she couldn't hear the music, and again, no limitations. So how did that message of and behavior of no limitations, how's that impacting you today in your business and the people around you?
Yeah, it's impacted me really from the time I left home, even to go to the Merchant Marine Academy. It was a situation where, you know, I'd never been on a ship before, but there was no limitations. And with work, with business, we could take on any particular situation with any client, and we will make it happen.
So, Matt, what's the website address?
MSSSERV.com.
We're speaking with Matt Dieter, who is founder and principal of MSS Services, here in Executive Leaders Radio with my co-host Christine Miles of CI Square, Drew Hanlon of Hanlon Creative, and Peter Kiriakotis of Emmanuel Insurance. Don't forget to visit executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be right back after this break. We're back and you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Hank Boyer, and we'd like to introduce Mike Foti, who is a presidential director of Stream Energy. Welcome, Mike. What is Stream Energy and what do you guys do?
Thanks, Hank. Great being here. Stream Energy is simply where, in 4 minutes for free, we offer someone a lower cost per kilowatt on both their electric and gas for home and businesses.
How big is the organization you oversee?
About 8,100 associates.
And what type of revenue does that mean?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, it's probably in excess of $20 million generated.
So how did you get started there?
Well, one day someone invited me to a meeting, and I was actually unemployed at the time, praying for an opportunity, and I saw it. And at first I thought it was too good to be true, but, you know, I investigated, and I ran pretty fast with it.
Hmm. So where'd you grow up?
Morrisville, Pennsylvania, Bucks County, PA.
Hmm. Brothers or sisters?
I have one older brother by 4 years.
So what did growing up in Morrisville with an older brother do to you? How did affect you?
Well, it was a great small town, and right near Snipes Golf Course, which is like 100 acres of just adventure land for me. I'd get lost all day and come home at the end of the day.
Hmm. What'd your dad do for a living?
My dad, from age 25 to 35, was a gym teacher. And at age 35, he got into car sales.
Hmm, car sales. That seems like a big jump.
It really was. I mean, one day I heard him, and this is a tough old Italian dad, mind you, and I heard him when I was about 5 years old crying in the bathroom. My mom would not let me near him. She said, "Dad's just going through some things." And I found out that, you know, the salary of a gym teacher was not cutting it, and he was entertaining a serious step out of his own comfort zone, and he got into car sales.
How did it make you feel to see your tough Italian dad in a breakdown like that of tears?
I had never seen it before and didn't know what was going on, but later in life I grew to admire him so much because it was a drastic step out of his comfort zone from teaching to car sales, and he did it because he loved his family and he faced his fears.
Mike, you had great success with Stream, and your father obviously pivoted to a career in sales. Do you remember, can you recall the first time you felt that success for yourself in life?
That's a great question. The first time I truly felt that success in life was 2 years into Stream. My wife and I had earned the award called the Rising Star Award. I was in Dallas Convention Center. And there's 8,000 people there in total, and they called our names, and I couldn't believe it.
That must have felt amazing. How about even further back, though, in your youth? Do you remember a time where that first level of achievement was felt by you in a sales role or opportunity?
I guess because I always wanted to please my dad. In third grade, they had a pretzel sale, and I actually said, I'll do it. I want to get involved, and I came in third place in the pretzel sale, and it seemed to really please my dad. He was praising me.
You think your dad was very proud of you? How did that resonate for you?
It felt great.
Did you feel like your father and you typically, did your father give you praise often?
Yeah, I wouldn't say often. So when it came, it was very much valued.
Did you find that praise was also maybe related to sports as well and other endeavors?
Yeah, I mean, there was. I remember one football game when I got hit so hard my helmet flew off. I grabbed it, put it back on, and just started playing in the game and didn't think nothing else of it. But
how come you didn't stay down when the helmet came off? I mean, I'm sure a hit like that's got to hurt.
I think that's what, again, gave my father a chance to encourage me. At the end of the game, he said, "You did an amazing job," and I really did not accomplish anything in the game except put the helmet back on and get back up and played.
Mike, your entire interview has been about like sort of testing limits, getting out of your comfort zone a bit. I'm really like inspired by your story. And there was one particular moment in your life when I think you were a senior in high school where once again you kind of had to step out of your comfort zone, tell your dad something. Mm. Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, my dad was a high school basketball star. And so I played basketball my whole life. But Up at about 11th grade, I decided actually to not play, but to get into bodybuilding. And it was a real struggle because I had to go to him one day and say, "Dad, I'm not going to go out for basketball my senior year." And I just didn't know what he was going to think.
And what did he think? How did he handle that?
Well, to my surprise and great joy, he just embraced me. He loved me unconditionally. And I think the impact was later in my life, I actually found out how much God loves me unconditionally. I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
And Mike, for me, like when I look at you, I don't think you've seen your very best yet. Do you agree with that? I mean, your best is yet to come.
You know, I've learned to life truly begins where your comfort zone ends. While my dad did step out of his comfort zone that time early on, he passed on two opportunities where people came to the house, one to give him his own regular conventional business. Another was a network marketing business called Amway. And at five, I didn't know what was going on. But I've learned because he passed on those opportunities that one should, if someone presents you with an opportunity that's amazing and you don't understand it, grab it anyway and run and figure it out along the way.
And Mike, what does your dad think of your success today? Like, what is when he looks at you, what's he thinking?
Well, my dad had passed 9 years ago. But I know he's looking down on me with a smile because everything I learned about sales was from him.
And do you ever hear him whispering anything in your ear as you're kind of making decisions? Or?
Yeah, he's very proud of me. That's what I hear.
Mike, so your dad he's a gym teacher, you said, and then he became a car salesman. And
yes.
How did he do?
I'm sorry?
How did he do in the car sales world?
You know, it's not just me who thinks he was the best, but he actually had a month of 62 sales personally, which nowadays it's about what a dealership does in a month.
So was he a top salesperson?
He was. There were trophies all over the house. They sent him on trips, and they even asked him to make teach a video on how to approach people.
So how has I'm going to take a leap here that you've really wanted your dad. I mean, he was a quiet man. He was Italian, you know, and you wanted his approval and his recognition as a kid. How has that driven you in your own life to be better? It sounds like it
well,
has.
Well, you know what? We live in a world void of encouragement. And the way I build my team is someone accomplishes something small, I shower them with praise. People want to be part of something bigger than themselves.
So I think it's interesting, too, because you talked about your business and how you're helping the customers save on their electric and gas, but you're also creating opportunities for your team members that maybe didn't have a way to make their own financial life better. Is that not
right? Yeah. I mean, Stream Energy is an opportunity that is life-changing for people.
You had a dynamic growing up in that Italian family. Tell us a little bit about your grandfather.
Now that's an unexpected question. My grandfather was the exact opposite of my father, an extremely ornery person.
So what was that dynamic like, and how did that affect you?
My father, I watched him constantly put out fires that were created by my grandfather. And you know, when I look back, he truly loved his father unconditionally for what he went through.
Mm. You shared a story with me earlier about your grandfather passing away, and you had a conversation with him.
My grandfather passing
away. Yeah, didn't you?
Yeah, that was, you know, he lived his life in a crazy way, but he didn't regret anything.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't regret anything. You know, I've learned you got to live life without regrets. Swing the bat at every pitch. Not only take every shot, but crave the buzzer ball.
Hey, Mike, you described in the green room that you were a late bloomer, so to speak, right? You left basketball to go into bodybuilding. You were a skinny, kind of scrawny kid. And I think before you also mentioned that you struggled with ADD yourself, did you not?
Yeah, believe it or not, attention deficit disorder caused me to forget so many things. One day I actually locked myself in the back of my own vending van. There was a cage between the front and the back and child protective locks. And what I went through emotionally trying to escape that van taught me I had to escape some bigger things in life.
But it created some obstacles for you that you needed to figure out how to overcome. And I think I remember you telling me also in the green room that your son struggled with some of the same issues.
Yeah, I mean, he's attention deficit disorder to some degree. And But we actually had, I spent a lot more time with my son than I did with my father. We actually got a chance to get on the road and do some sales together, and we really got to know each other. It was a blessing.
What do you think your son would say that that experience was like?
I would say that he would say that a lot of kids don't get that, to spend that much time with your father in the busy, crazy world in which we live.
What does that mean to you?
It's priceless. I wouldn't pass it up for anything. That time we spent on the road selling together had so many financial blessings, but they all pale in comparison to the ups and downs we shared and the personal discussions we had.
Mike, real quickly, you're in the process of writing a book, are you not?
I am.
And you're, what's it called?
It's called The ADD Entrepreneur: From Mess to Success Via the Power of God.
So what are the, real quickly, what are the advantages of being an entrepreneur? Just give me one or two. And having ADD, how do they marry together?
You know, you control your own destiny. When you step out of your own comfort zone to do your own deal, out of your comfort zone, everything's bigger. Your goals, your network, your paycheck.
Thanks, Mike. What's the website of your address or of your organization?
It is mikeanddaneenfodie.mystream.com. Daneen is spelled D-A-N-E-N-E.
And your name again is?
Michael Fodie.
You're a presidential director of Stream Energy here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our Executive Leaders Radio. We'll be right back after this business spotlight. We're back, and you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Hank Boyer, and we'd like to introduce you to our next guest, Dave Lobach, who is CEO of Embassy Bank of the Lehigh Valley. What's Embassy Bank, and what do you guys do?
Embassy Bank is a full-service commercial bank serving the Lehigh Valley in the state of Pennsylvania.
And how big or how small is the organization?
Well, we started at zero back in 2001. And today, we're in excess of $1 billion of assets.
Wow, that seems like a record.
Well, it certainly is. It's a record time, short period of time. We're very proud of it.
And why do you think you've been so successful at Embassy Bank?
Great people, great leadership through our board, and a great community.
So let's go back to the beginning. Where were you born and raised?
Born in and raised in Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
And that's here in the Lehigh Valley,
that's
right?
That's right here in the valley.
And what did your dad do for a living?
Well, my dad worked at Mack Trucks as well as my grandfather.
And that's all in the Lehigh Valley?
All in the Lehigh Valley.
Man, you have a lot of connections to the Lehigh Valley.
Love the valley.
And he was in the war, wasn't he?
Yeah, my dad served. My dad was working at Mack Trucks. World War II started, went off to serve in the Army Air Force, trained out of Fort Bragg and Pope Field, flew B-25 bombers during World War II.
How did that affect you growing up, knowing that your dad did that?
Well, first of all, I was very proud of my parents and certainly my father. Didn't know a lot about it until he grew and I grew much older.
And what about your mom?
Well, my mom was from North Carolina. She met my dad while he was at Fort Bragg and Pope Field. My mom was adopted. We're not sure actually where she came out of, her family background. But she was adopted by a family in North Carolina. The adopted mother passed away. A new stepmother came into the picture. And my mother actually was mistreated and ran away and was raised by her Sunday school teacher.
You told us a little about Miss Katie that I believe was her Sunday school teacher.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about Katie and what she meant to you
and
your mom?
Miss Katie was a great lady, and she actually was a teacher. And she and her sister ran a large tobacco and cotton farm. Miss Katie was a big influence in my life. Matter of fact, my parents were married at the Baptist church on their farm. They built the church probably back in the 1800s, and the farm was in the family since the 1700s.
And when you're serving the community here in the Lehigh Valley, what's the one thing that Miss Katie taught you that you think of?
Well, first of all, she taught me a lot, and there's a lot to be learned from her, she and her sister. And she taught me about hard work. She taught me to work with people. She had a lot of people that worked on the farm. She treated her people very well. And she taught me the importance of people, teamwork, taking great care of the land, which today ties into my
Dave,
love for the environment.
Is that where you learned loyalty, the lessons of loyalty?
Yes, it was there and with my parents. And
Dave, talk to us a little bit about working on the farm. At what age do you remember starting to first get your hands dirty on a farm?
Well, we started going down there when I was born, and when I was old enough to walk, I was helping out with cotton and tobacco.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I had a sister who passed away before I was born.
So you had nobody to lean on to help you when you were working. Everyone relied on you to get the job done.
No, that's right. It was myself and team of people.
So what does that look like in the culture at the bank?
Yeah, first of all, culture is very important to me. And our culture is, number one, we believe that you take great care of the team member, take great care of the customer. Only great things will happen to the shareholder.
Hey, Dave, did you ever go to work with your dad when you were young?
Yeah, I went to Mack Trucks, but my dad was laid off a lot, and we worked other jobs when I was very, very young.
He built trucks. He didn't drive trucks,
He built
right?
trucks.
What did you learn from your dad about building trucks, how that affects building a bank?
Well, the correlation there is, if you ever heard the saying, built like a Mack, I mean, they were built very strong. They were built by great people. They were a community organization that served the public and the community. And there's a lot of similarities to building a Mack truck and building a bank.
You've built the brand of a Mack truck in the community of Lehigh Valley. So, curiously, you talked in the green room a little bit about your co-founder, who passed away, I understand. But you described that you pretty much came up with a business strategy plan and put it on a napkin.
Yeah, Elmer Gates and I, he was involved with another bank, the bank that I was involved in. That bank was sold. And we had dinner one night, and over dinner we came up with a handshake on what we were going to do, and on the back of a napkin, front and back, we came up with our plan to build the bank, which is not too much different than our strategic plan for today.
How did you know you could trust Elmer?
Well, I knew Elmer, and he had a great deal of integrity. He was a community man, and,
You're pretty good at sizing up people.
Well...
Yes?
I think so.
So how does that help you? I mean, people come in and they want to lend from you. And is that part of what you have to do well in banking? Is
well, the regulators might like this, but I do a lot of deals on the back of a napkin. So, there's...
Why is that so important for you?
Why important? We want to make it as easy as we can to do business with us because there's a lot of competition out there and, they can go anywhere.
Dave, what's the best part of your day?
Best part of my day, and my day usually goes from 7 in the morning to 7 at night, happens to be working with the people. We have a lot of great people, and the whole team development is very important to the longevity of this organization.
Thanks, Dave. What's the website address of Embassy?
Embassybank.com.
And we've been speaking with Dave Lobach, President and CEO of Embassy Bank, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Christine, can you give us a quick rundown of who's been on the show today?
Sure. We had a great show, and we do want to thank Embassy Bank and Dave for having us. We had Jeff Boyer, President of Boyer Financial Group. We had Matt Dieter, Principal MSS Services. Mike Foti, a Presidential Director at Stream Energy. And again, Dave Lobach, CEO of Embassy Bank.
I'd like to thank all of my co-hosts, Christine Miles, CI Square, Drew Hanlon, Hanlon Creative, and Peter Kiriakotis of Emmanuel Insurance for giving me a hand today, helping to structure the questions to give our listening audience an entertaining and educational show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening, otherwise we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for letting us join you today. Have yourself a great day. Bye-bye.